بسم الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected brothers and elders, sisters and mothers listening on the receivers, I am extremely humbled by this experience, and I literally stand before you today in front of my ustadh, who I owe my entire life to and academic career to. I reminisce over the days over 20 years ago when I first stood on this musalla, so nervous, but hoisted by my teacher and by my esteemed mentor, Maulana Yunus Patel rahimahullah, and encouraged by the two of them. And alhamdulillah, that carried us through. I began with my alphabets of the English language even below this masjid. And I remember coming to seek admission into the madrasa of Maulana Naeem hafidhahullah, and I was told to come later on to join his madrasa in Clare Estate. So I even started my hifz basically here. And thereafter we started our Arabic here. So I feel really this is just an exercise whereby I could be corrected, and whereby I try to latch on to whatever noor was left behind, whatever I acquired from this experience of growing up in this masjid, and share that with you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that beneficial. There are many roads and many shades of taqwa which many of us home down to, or we focus on one or two aspects or one or two shades of taqwa. Indeed, salah, sawm, zakah are pillars of deen. They are the foundations of deen. We have to perform our salah. We have to discharge our zakah, etc. But there is one path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we often neglect. And this is neglected by myself, and therefore I begin with this topic. And I would like to address myself by means of this topic. It is a characteristic by means of which thousands of people have entered into the fold of Islam. Not due to anything else, but due to this characteristic which many of us, and I said myself first, are bereft of. Our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam possessed this characteristic to the highest extent, to the pinnacle and the peak. So much so that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they said regarding him, كان أحلم الناس. He was the most forbearant of people. He had the most self-constraint. He was extremely patient. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was what we termed as Halim. This characteristic of Hilm, of tolerance, of forbearance, is what we are missing in looking for taqwa, in looking for proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look at the word hilm, we notice in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for example, said, لِيَلِينِي مِنْكُمْ أُولُو الْأَحْلَامِ وَالنُّهَى. Those who have intelligence should stand closest to me. The words ahlam is used. Ahlam, you can think of the root letters, ha, lam, mim. And we mention now that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was halim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had tolerance. He had forbearance. And here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the one with intelligence, and the word that's used here is ahlam, those of intelligence. So it means in the Arabic language, when we speak about forbearance and tolerance, we also speak about intelligence. Because forbearance is born out of intelligence. That's why the opposite of that is called safaha. And a person who doesn't possess this is called safi. In fact, every day when we leave our home, we are told by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, or we learn from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when he used to leave the home, he used to recite a dua, he used to supplicate unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amongst the things he used to seek protection from was, O Allah, I seek protection, and ajhala aw yujhala alayya. I seek protection that I act in an ignorant fashion. What is meant by act in an ignorant fashion? It means to act without tolerance, to act without forbearance. Another aspect of this word, when we look at it linguistically, we see that halama, that is the breast of a woman, is called halama, because it is used to satiate, to pacify the child. So if a person adopts hilm and forbearance, then no matter what the situation, it is like those painkillers. You know, when a person takes it, it just numbs the pain. So it numbs the situation. If we are able to act with forbearance, to act with tolerance, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us a certain type of sukoon and itminan, pleasure, contentment. In the midst of difficulties, we know our Shaykh rahimahullah used to say, like how a flower blooms in the midst of thorns. So in the most difficult of situations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this, and I remember him saying that it's like chloroform that is given to a person, anesthetic that is given to a person. They're busy chopping that person up, but the person doesn't feel anything. The person is asleep. It reminds me again, when we look at the root letters of hilm, it also has to do with dreams. What happens when a person dreams? A person can only dream if a person is relaxed. If a person is not relaxed, then a person will not dream. So this is the antidote, actually. This is the formula for our pleasure and happiness in the midst of difficulties. That is to exercise forbearance and tolerance. And we mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam possessed this quality to the highest extent, to the greatest extent. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I mentioned, was known as Ahlam al-Nas. How did this manifest itself in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But before we get there, a last point with regards to the linguistic aspect of Halim, of Hilm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we take a verse from Surah Al-Ahzab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in your hearts. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ilm. He describes himself as one who has knowledge, but at the same time, Allah is forbearant and Allah is tolerant. And we are told that we should imbibe the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should try to imitate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's characteristics. This characteristic of hilm, of tolerance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is so amazing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that despite me knowing, when do we take revenge? We take revenge from people because of what we know that they have wronged us of. We know, how much do we know really of what people do wrong to us? Or when they speak ill of us? Perhaps we know 10% of all the ill that goes around against us. But yet, we act upon it immediately. We lack tolerance. Just with this little knowledge, we act immediately upon it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows every single thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite having knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still Halim. Allah knew when you closed that curtain. Allah knew when you put that browser on incognito mode. Allah knows when you went into that private mode. You were disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You were ungrateful for His favors. He saw you being disobedient to Him. He knew you were disobedient to Him. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still forgave you. Allah overlooked you. Allah said, maybe my servant will come back unto me. Another amazing aspect of this is that a person, one is, there'll be two drivers to taking revenge for someone who harmed you. One is you have knowledge. You know that that person did harm to you. The other is that you have the power to exact revenge. Some of us know that that person harmed me, but I don't have the power to take revenge from that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned, He has knowledge. Besides the knowledge, Allah is qadir ala al-intiqam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has absolute power to take revenge. Imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to take revenge from us for every single slip up, every single mistake that we committed. What would be left of us? So, تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. We have to adopt this characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is that of tolerance and forbearance. Now let's come back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's example. There are so many, when I was researching this, and I was thinking about it, there are so many incidents that manifest the forbearance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You take the incident where this person comes and he grabs hold of the shawl of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He holds it very tightly. He squeezes the neck of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he demands his debt. Umar radiallahu an immediately gets enraged. He wants to take revenge. He wants to jump upon him and pounce upon him and kill this person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam restrains Umar radiallahu an. And thereafter, this person says that actually there were two characteristics that were missing that I had not seen. The person's name was Zayd ibn Sa'na. He says there were two characteristics which I did not see manifest yet in this person who is claiming that he is the messenger of Allah. And the first was, يَسْبِقُ حِلْمُهُ جَهْلَهُ, that his tolerance overpowered and beat his ignorance. And the second thing was, وَلَا تَزِيدُهُ شِدَّةُ الْجَهْلِ إِلَّا حِلْمًا, and the more a person acted ignorantly towards him, it only increased him in his forbearance. I just wanted to see that. And I saw that manifest itself in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am a rabbi. I have the knowledge of the scripture. I saw that he was extremely tolerant. There were still 3 days left for the period to expire. The debt had not expired as yet. It did not mature as yet. The period had not expired. So he says that I saw this manifest itself, that despite him being forbearant and tolerant and telling Umar radiallahu anhu to restrain himself, he also increased me in the debt. And he commanded Umar radiallahu anhu to give me 20 saws more, 20 buckets more of the measure that I owed to him. And upon this he accepted Islam. Perhaps one of the most dearest things to ourselves is what of people are our daughters. And if anyone has to raise a finger or abuse our daughters, we are absolutely enraged. We are willing to kill that person. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughter, Zainab radiallahu anha, she leaves her husband from Makkah al-Mukarramah. He was still a non-Muslim at that time. She leaves with his brother, going to Medina Munawwara to migrate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She leaves her husband. She was absolutely attached to her husband. But for the sake of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she leaves. The people of Makkah were enraged. They said, how can the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how can she leave like this? Without informing us, without taking permission, out in the broad daylight she wants to leave. So much of audacity. How dare she behaves in this fashion. So they send her cousin, Habbar ibn al-Aswad, and others who were very reckless. And they come, and when they see her, they throw a lance towards her, towards an animal. That startles the animal. She falls from her hodaj, from her carriage. And she was pregnant. She miscarries. She miscarries. She is injured for doing nothing. Just trying to exit Makkah al-Mukarramah and go to her father. Anyway, years pass. And the same person, Habbar ibn al-Aswad, now decides to accept Islam. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what do you think the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must have thought when he comes to him? My daughter, that was the reason that she died. She died due to the injury that she sustained at that time. How you startled her? You were her cousin. Couldn't you not have done that? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgives him. We take another incident. Uthman ibn Talha, later on became a sahabi, of course, radiallahu an. He was the keeper of the keys of the Kaaba. One day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to the Kaaba. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to enter the Kaaba. And he asked Talha, Uthman ibn Talha, to allow him to enter. Uthman ibn Talha says to him, Ya Muhammad, al-ajabu laka, haythu tatma' an attabi'aka, waqad khalafta deena qawmika, waji'ta bideenin muhdath, fafarraqta jama'atahum, wa ulfatahum, wa adhabta baha'ahum, fansarif. He retorts to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a very bad way. He says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how dare you ask me? It's amazing that you ask me this, that you have this request. How can you request from me this when you have left the deen of your people? You are the cause of the dissension and the disunity of your people. And you have taken away their splendor and their grandeur. Go away from here. I'm not opening the Kaaba for you. Every Monday and Thursday, they used to open the doors of the Kaaba for everyone. Again, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants to enter. And again, Uthman ibn Talha is extremely harsh to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, فَغَلَّظْتُ عَلَيْهِ وَنِلْتُ مِنْهُ. I was extremely harsh to him, and I criticized him and abused him. وَحَلُمَ عَنِّي. There's the words, حِلْم. وَحَلُمَ عَنِّي. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely tolerant to me. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, Ya Uthman, لَعَلَّكَ سَتَرَى هَذَا الْمِفْتَاحِ بِيَدِي يَوْمًا أَضَعُهُ حَيْثُ شِئْتِ. Oh Uthman, what will happen to you one day when I am in your position and I have the keys in my hand? What will I do with it and what will be your situation, oh Uthman? Uthman is thinking, this man is persecuted. This man is tortured. How can he make this type of a claim? He probably laughed and mocked and ridiculed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said that the people of Quraysh, لَقَدْ هَلَكَتْ قُرَيْشٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَذَلَّتْ. Then the Quraysh on that day would definitely be those who are disgraced. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بَلْ عَمِرَتْ وَعَزَّتْ. But rather, they will be flourishing and they will be honorable on that day. So Uthman, these words remain in his mind. He thinks about it. And then sometimes the thought of Islam comes to him and he expresses this thought and immediately people rebuke him, they reprimand him. So he forgets about it. He comes, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes for the Umrah, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to make qada of, had to make up for. And then he was thinking of pledging allegiance and accepting Islam upon the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again he hesitates. And then just before Fathu Makkah, he realizes that he needs to accept this religion. He's a person of dignity. He comes towards Mecca. He wanted to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wanted to accept Islam. He meets Khalid ibn al-Walid, Amr ibn al-As along the way. They're also coming for the same purpose. Anyway, they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he expresses Islam. And now we have the day of Fath Makkah. The day where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now enters Makkatul Mukarramah. Imagine after years of sacrifice, years of war with his own people. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes into the streets of Makkatul Mukarramah. What must be going through the mind of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What must he be reminiscing regarding? He could hear the echoes, the screeches of Bilal radiallahu an, when that boulder was placed upon his chest in the hot sun, desert sun of Makkatul Mukarramah. He could hear those whoops lashing his followers. He could see the burnt back of Khabbab radiallahu an. He could hear the cry of Khubayb radiallahu an and the dua that he made against the people when they killed him. He could think about the thorns that were placed on his path. He reminisced over all the persecution and torture, the fact that they put the intestines of animals on his back and didn't allow him to worship his Lord. At this stage, thinking of all of this, what would go in our minds? What would go through our minds and our hearts? Now we have power. Now we have authority. Now we can exact revenge from those very same people who killed my daughter, who were the cause of killing my daughter, who were the cause of great, immense harm and persecution to my followers. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes into Makkah not as one who is a tyrant with pride and arrogance. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes with humility into Makkatul Mukarramah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he asked the question that, what do you think? مَا تَقُولُونَ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ بِكُمْ. What do you think that I'm going to do to you today? So they try to get Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to attract his honorable nature. They said, أَخٌ كَرِيمٌ وَابْنُ أَخٍ كَرِيمٌ. You are an honorable brother. You are the son of an honorable brother. You will definitely forgive us and overlook us. Imagine this. Imagine us standing at this time and those thoughts are crossing your mind. You can see the blood that's spilt in the streets. You can hear the echoes of the persecution of your companions. You think of the killing of one of your female companions, Sumayya radiallahu anha, a lance through her private part. Yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I will say to you like how my brother Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam said, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحمين. That there is no reproach upon you today. Go, may Allah forgive you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful of those who show mercy. Imagine Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. فأصرها يوسف في نفسه ولم يبدها لهم. One is they threw him into the well. The other, they conspired to kill him. The other is that they said, فَقَدْ سَرَقَ أَخُلْ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Perhaps that was more penetrating, that hit his heart more. The fact that they accused him of stealing and his brother of stealing. At that time, he knew they were his brothers. And he knew the reality. What a harmful and hurtful statement that was. And فَأَصَرَّهَا يُوسُفُ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَلَمْ يُبْدِهَا لَهُمْ. He kept it to himself. He contained himself. He restrained himself. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did exactly the same thing. He contained it. He restrained himself. He tolerated whatever they had done. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgives them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we were mentioning about Uthman ibn Talha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for the keys of the Kaaba. Uthman ibn Talha brings it according to one narration from his mother, who first didn't want to give it. Anyway, she gave it and he comes
to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this key. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imagine this was the same person that one day stopped Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from entering the Kaaba. And he criticized him and he rebuked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in command. He has the keys in his hand. He had already prophesied this before. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells, when he comes out from the Kaaba, everyone is yearning for the keys. He says, he calls for Uthman ibn Talha and he says, خُذْهَا خَالِدَةً تَالِدَةً إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ لَا يَنْزِعُهَا مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا ظَالِمٌ. That take it eternally until the day of Qiyamah. You keep this key and none will take it away from you except one who is an oppressor. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave them. There was a person, Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl. He was amongst four whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if they are found, there's general amnesty. But he is one person who is not granted amnesty. Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, the son of Abu Jahl. What harm he must have done to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a long story, we don't have the time for the details. His wife Ummu Hakim asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to grant her husband amnesty. She goes, she finds him, he's about to throw himself into the sea. And she brings him back. But how does she bring him back? She brings him back by saying that جِئْتُ مِنْ أَحْلَمِ النَّاسِ. I've come from a person who is the most forbearant of people. He says, I fear for myself, أَخَافُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي. I fear that he will take retribution from me and he will harm me. He will not forgive me. She says, I have taken security from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for your life. Come, when he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgives him. He asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make dua that all his enmity and all his efforts against Islam and the Muslims be also forgiven. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua for that. And he makes a firm determination not to do the same again and to double his efforts, but this time for Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tolerance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this forbearance, such that we can put down these fires and extinguish these fires that are burning everywhere, in every single relationship. None of us want to give in. And I conclude on this incident, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam imbibed the same spirit within his companions. And the companion that perhaps was the closest to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was none other than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And how we mentioned Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgiving the killer and the one who was the cause of his daughter's demise. In the same way, the daughter of Abu Bakr, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was slandered. She was a chaste, pious woman and she was slandered. And there's a long story again. Whatever happened after that. And she was declared innocent by the verses of Surah An-Nur. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu took an oath, when everything came to the fore, he took an oath that he's not going to give his cousin Misbah, who was one of those people who had caused the slander to go through the streets of Medina Munawwara. He said that I will never give him again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَأْتَلِي أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَسَعَةً أَيُؤْتُوا لِلْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. I leave you with this thought. Whenever this comes to you, whenever you think that I can't be tolerant here, I can't be forbearant, think of this verse. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Do you not wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to implement this and to imbibe the spirit of hilm. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.